Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, on RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrected Republic, RTR Truth Media. I'm your host, Tom Lacavera-Stewart, with my co-host, JJ Zapp, and our special guest, Mr. Derek Gonzalez. And he was just fired up telling us something right before we went to break again. You want to pick up where you left off there, Derek? Sorry about that interruption.
Yeah, sure. Through a lot of due diligence and finding some ancient technology, as we like to refer to it, we stumbled across, notice an opportunity. And what we found was a series of documents, like, for example, the decedent, non-decedent letter that goes to the IRS, the Social Security Administration, and the FTC. Then we found the Affidavit of Life, and there are a couple other documents that we put together in this package. Originally, we were just giving it out to free to people, but the problem was my phone was ringing, at all hours of night, 3, 4 in the morning, people asking questions about how to fill out this documents. They weren't, very clear. They weren't able to read the documents. Right. And unfortunately, we had to do something else when we implemented a system that makes it very user-friendly now, and people are able to be successful with it. But what it does is it puts all your public officials on notice, the Attorney General, the Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, the Queen Elizabeth even gets notified because she's tied into the Social Security.
Yes, she is.
Most people,
think that's
that.
Crazy, but that is an absolute fact. I heard it on the floor of Parliament myself with my own ears.
Yep, your taxes get whisked away by the IMF, and everybody thinks that goes to the roads and everything else. It does not, ladies and gentlemen. That goes to the national debt, which really isn't even a national debt. It's just it's a figment of everybody's imagination. We live in Alice in Wonderland. We live in a place where if you drink the tea and eat the crumpet, you might shrink, the door might grow. I mean, anything is possible in the fictional realm of paper.
Isn't that why they claim us? Isn't basically a surety on the FRNs is basically us? We
absolutely
are the backing of that. Yeah,
absolutely. And here's something that's even more disturbing at this point. There is less than like 1/8 of the actual amount of currency that is allegedly out there is actually in physical, tangible form. And people just don't realize that. They said, well, this digital technology like Bitcoin and this, that, and the other. And I said, what's your problem with using it? It's a means of exchange. When you understand what money, let me clarify, what currency is, currency flows down the river, folks.
Yep.
And it's currency. It's what we're using to exchange. It's a means of exchange. It's no different than barter and trade, except for when I do a job for Lulu down the road, she's not going to go butcher me a cow. That would be barter and trade. Lulu doesn't have any experience butchering a cow, so she's like, hey, will you take this and accept this? Because the butcher down the road accepts this down the road, and you can go get your cow. So all they really created was a system that was very user-friendly, essentially. But again,
it's no really different than a cattle ranch or any other farm. They're using the equity of the cattle or the value of the cattle, however you want to call them. You're using the value of that as propping up this fiat currency, right?
Yeah, but if anybody else did that, they'd be in the pokey for fraud. I mean, look at yep. Bernie Madoff and all these other people. The only thing the American government didn't like about Bernie Madoff is the fact he was working for himself and not them. Let's be real. If he was working for them, he'd be CEO sitting on top of a real nice house right now.
Yeah.
And I'm not too sure he isn't anyway, but the fact of the matter is what these sinister people have done due to our ignorance and our failure to be control at the wheel, a lot of this, folks, falls back on us when we allow the legislators to come into the school and get rid of civics. It falls back on us when we allow,
we allow the government to implement any kind of government-run education system, breaking away from elected teachers. If you read the Massachusetts Constitution, the original one that I don't know if they ever had the authority to replace, it speaks about the election of teachers by
right.
Could you imagine right now in school boards across or schools across the nation if the local parents had the power, which they should have, to choose their own teachers rather than to give it to a bureaucratic board. That, and with all of these protections that you can't fire them and you can't, these unions, which are communist. By the way, I hate to say this. There's a lot of, I want to say this. Folks, if you're a member of a union, you have to understand the root origin of unions is communism. That is the workers of the world uniting. And let me tell you something, you know, in today's day and age, if they offer not a fair wage, then people won't take the job. But these unions have destroyed the fabric of this country in many ways. Now, I believe in here. The premise of the government is to preserve and protect our rights, right? So what government, proper role of government would be, okay, Corporation A, if you're going to use this toxic chemical, you really should give people protective clothing. The government, that is the proper role. If government had a proper role, that would be the proper role. But government didn't do that, right? So rather than, see, they created their own problem by not doing that in many respects, and then these unions formed, and then you have it's a long story, but I don't want to go too far off the track. But here again, you have the problem: the government not performing the role by which it was alleged to be have been brought into creation, to then have a communistic society have to rise up to fill that gap, and then you have. What did you have that nitwit senator saying to the oil executive? Well, we want to socialize. Or how did she say that? Take control of the industry. The government will run your business.
Right.
It opens the door to fascism. I mean, you go from a free republic to communistic socialism to corporate fascism, oligarchy, and that's where we are today. That's where we are. It's communitarianism.
But you have to understand fundamentally where it started. Mm-hmm. And I reach back to the Unum Sanctum. Now, I know people that reach back further than that into the 1100s, and I haven't delved into that yet. But it was very clear what the Roman Vatican did and the empire when they created that Unum Sanctum Trust. And you read that. I mean, it gives me goosebumps just talking about it now. It's the most sinister, sick thing I've ever seen in my life, and I read it differently than most people. They're going, Derek, that it seems like he was a real nice guy. I mean, he's taking care of us in the absence of God because we're invalids and not capable of doing it ourselves. And I'm thinking to myself, this was a foothold for a master plan that has just continued to evolve and develop as time goes on. Because there are only three corporations in the world, ladies and gentlemen. You have to understand this. Everything else is a subsidiary. Even the corporation that I once had, through them, through a licensing agreement, I was just a subsidiary of Washington, D.C. And Washington, D.C. is just a subsidiary of the London Crown and the Roman Vatican. There are three main corporations. You got the London Crown, you got Washington, D.C., the District of Columbia, and then you have the Vatican. Those are the three major corporations. Everything runs through those three entities.
Three-star flag. IMF,
absolutely. So when you start to look at that stuff and you start to really allow it to resonate in your mind, you will soon see that, oh, wait a minute. Oh, I got a license from them. That's why I owe them something. Here's the thing that kills me. People that get patents. Why on God's green earth would you go get a patent and then pay a fee every year to use your technology, your brain, the thing that you came up with? And guess what? If you don't pay that fee every couple of years or every year, guess what happens? They give your idea, your material to somebody else who's willing to pay those fees.
Your private property, yes.
So I discourage anybody from patenting stuff. If you're going to make something, just give it out to the world. Get it into production. Be quick about it. Be efficient about it. And pick a good manufacturer who's not going to cheat you on materials. And just get it out as fast as you can and come up with your next idea, because somebody's no doubt going to hijack it, steal it, make it with cheaper quality materials, lesser of a product, and they're still going to push just as many as you. So waste $25,000 playing in their system, and then they just steal it from you. I just read an article the other day. A guy paid into the Social Security for 25 years. He got kicked out of this country because he was allegedly an illegal alien. And so he went after him and tried to sue him. For Social Security, and they said Social Security is an act of Congress, and they can repeal it at any time they want. The problem with that is it wasn't Congress that was taking it from him. It was a guy in a black robe that just decided all of a sudden he was Congress, and he was going to remove his Social Security benefits that he paid in. But what people don't understand is Social Security is a voluntary donation, ladies and gentlemen. It's voluntary, and they have no obligation to give it back to you. None. So, I mean, when
that's absolutely right. And you have to jump through hoops just to get the pittance that they decide after you've paid in for many, many years to give you, if they give you anything at all. Yeah, it's crazy.
So I was just looking at this here, and it says the importance of status cannot be overstated. Treaties with a corporation seem to be a stretch, especially when a corporation is a continuing criminal enterprise called United States of America in a perpetual state of bankruptcy. And that's the other thing that comes to my mind. You have these officials, right? And they're an agent, and they work for an agency that's insolvent, and they have the cojones to tell you how to operate, what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. And I'm thinking to myself, you're not even solvent. You work for an insolvent corporation, and you're trying to give me financial advice while you're trying to rob me at the same time. I don't get it. It just doesn't make any – it's the worst.
Oh, yeah. You know, have you ever read that MIAC document that was the Michigan State Police and the Fusion Center released on sovereign citizens? And they said, sovereign citizens believe – that the United States declared bankruptcy in 1933. Wait a minute. We believe this? I'm quite sure it's on the congressional record. So you see these morons that they hire, and they're useful idiots, just like Stalin said in his empire. He said the people that bring about Marxist-Leninism are not going to be avowed Marxists. They're not even going to realize what they're doing. They're useful idiots. And when I call them that, I don't mean it in a way, and I know that it's probably taken in a way of offense. I'm comparing them historically to an event that happened in history. They're being used identically the same way that Stalin used policy enforcers to bring about – they're dumbed down. If you are sitting there and you think that my knowing historical facts makes me dangerous, and you can actually put that on a piece of paper, you're dangerous. You should not have a gun. You should not have enforcement power. As far as I'm concerned, when I saw that in that document, that was a big, big red flag for me. And that's what led me to continue doing what we're doing and what you're doing right now. It's just, it's a huge problem. Ignorance is dangerous.
What troubles me so much is you got to be 7 years educated to be a doctor, maybe 15 years educated to be a neurosurgeon. You have to be 7 years to be a lawyer, 16 weeks or 12 weeks to be a gun-toting moron running around there acting like you know law. A lawyer goes through school for 7 years just to learn process. They really don't even learn much about law. More process is what I'm figuring out, because I know more about law than most of these attorneys, which is incredible to me because that's what I thought they went to school for. As I start to interact with them, I realize they're really good at process, demurs, you name it, on and on and on the list goes. But when you start to talk to them about law, and they look at you sideways like you don't make any sense, and I'm going, it's in your own written manuals in the CFR, the USC, the UCC. I mean, I didn't make this stuff up in my head. What kills me about it is when I have interactions with officers, they're like, man, we're just upholding the law. And I go, okay. And sometimes just to be a smartass, I'll ramble off some code like CR 716665. You know what that is? Well, no. Well, you should know what that is because you should be arresting me right now because I'm sure I'm violating it, you know. And it's just funny because they don't have a freaking clue about any law, any statutes. They don't know crap other than the basics.
No, it's like common core of enforcement is they standardize – What is the normalcy of the operating procedure of that local municipal corporation, and they all have that regimen, and they cease asking questions. I mean, there is enormous amount of case law that says that, you know, we have an absolute right to travel upon the open roadway without regulation or restriction of any kind at all. This is case law.
You know what's troubling about that case law? Some gun-toting moron actually thought he had the right and took it upon himself to violate another man while he was in uniform, and that's why we have that case law. It's like the case law where you're not allowed to throw a live moose out of an airplane in Alaska. It's a law now that you can't do that. Well, there's two troubling factors about that. One, some jackass actually did it. And two, they actually paid a bunch of idiots sitting around in suits and ties to deliberate whether or not it should be legal or not to do it. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
God, yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. All right, what's our next point of order?
Well, let's see here. We could go on for days.
Well, we don't have days, but we have 45 minutes, so let's dig in deeper.
Let's dig in a little deeper. I firmly believe, after all my intensive studies, the best way to effectively enjoy freedom and liberty is to liberate yourself through a status correction. As I said earlier, the unum sanctum is what kind of drug us down this road where we all became subjects of the Vatican and we're building them up and they continue to oppress us. And what I have come to find is through notice and opportunity is how they started this enslavement. And notice and opportunity is how you get out. Hey, I'm alive. I'm not dead. I know it's been longer than 7 years since you last heard of me. I'm not dead. I'm not at sea. I'm here on the land jurisdiction as a man, a child of God, not a subject of Caesar. Here I am. And that's what we're finding that is so effective with this paperwork. We've stopped a mortgage already with it. We're working on getting some kids back from Wisconsin down in Georgia as well, back to their rightful owners, their mom and dad. So it's just really powerful, stuff. We've seen people get put on do not detain lists, executing this paperwork, where they get pulled over and the officer will come back to the car visibly shaken going, "I am so sorry, sir. I am so sorry. Here is your ID. I am so sorry. You know, is there anything I can do for you?" That's the power of understanding how to make these people work for you, because they do work for you when you have the right status. The attorney general absolutely will work for you. The governor will work for you when you correct your status. But until that point, you're nothing more than a minor child, an invalid of the state. And that's not of sane, sound mind. So they just don't interact with you. You're considered a useless feeder, according to them, and it's just due to their knowledge and enlightenment about how the system actually functions and works today.
All right, we have a caller on the line that would like to ask a question or chime in. Mike in Kentucky, you're on Resurrect Republic.
Yeah, good evening. I've heard of some paralegal guys that I know doing different things like this, constructive notice and whatever, going all the way to both the state Secretary of State and the U.S. Secretary of State, you know, putting them on notice with some different, I can't remember the exact name of their instruments. You're doing something along those lines, is that?
Yeah, that's correct. The other thing we're doing is a trademark copyright. I would highly advise everybody that the trademark patent copyright laws are highly enforced. They're very strict and stringent. You can protect yourself in that matter because you're first in time, first in line. Your parents gave you a name, and what they're doing is bastardizing your name and dragging you into things. They're giving you identifiers, descriptors, and depictors, and you, through your ignorance, are going, "Yeah, that's me, that's me, that's me." Because of the rewards of these alleged benefits that are, near as I can tell, nothing more than restrictions to your liberty and your freedom and your rights. So that's where we started moving, because before, I mean, I just got done with the Supreme Court, the appellate court, Supreme Court basis, writing an interlocutory appeal in the middle of a case about substantial rights, okay? Let me tell you how facetiously erroneous it was.
Facetiously erroneous it was. We're going to hold right there. People be right back. Sorry about the interruption. This is one of those interviews that commercials are a real shot in the butt, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sorry if I feel like calling you, though. 1-800-313-9443. Resurrect Republic, RTR Truth Media with Derek Gonzalez.
This is the most transparent administration in history.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong part, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come in an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
Gentlemen, Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, RTR Truth Media Reloaded. I'm your host, Tom Lacavera Stewart, joined by J.J. Zapp and Derek Gonzalez. And caller, are you still on the line? Mike, are you still with me? All right, now hang on. I want Derek to pick up where he left off because he was about ready to unload some interesting information on us. Derek, take it away.
So, state of Nebraska file an interlocutory appeal on substantial rights violations of a judge who denied me my right to counsel, who denied me my right to my witnesses, and denied me the right to also cross-examine the accuser or the alleged victim. Keep in mind, this is just a traffic case, not even speeding or nothing like that. Just an upbeat cop on the street at 2:30 in the morning decided he had to take interest in me. So I write an interlocutory appeal with one of my great brothers. I call him my silent legalese assassin ninja. His name is James Bethel. The guy is he has Bethel specials for days. The guy is good. And we write an interlocutory appeal, and we send it up to the appellate court level.
Watch your mic.
And in the time that we were sent off the interlocutory appeal, I got back from the appellate court that they were accepting the appeal. And I'm like, this is fantastic, great. And Bethel looks at me and goes, hey, just so you know, they're going to throw it out. And I said, what do you mean? He goes, they're going to throw it out. And I said, okay, well, I got some hope in the game here. I think the upper courts are going to be honorable, you know. I'm really hoping. Anyway, long story short, about 3 months into it, I get a letter back from the clerk of the court from the appellate level. And she says, well, we regret to inform you, you didn't submit a brief in a timely manner, and so we're going to have to deny your appeal on your substantial rights. And I thought to myself, are you flipping kidding me? She wants an appeal from a summary judgment of a judge in the middle of a case. There is no judgment had at this point. It's a substantial rights violation, a substantial appeal on the substantial rights of things. An interlocutory appeal, and you are denying me that? That's the basic fundamentals of law that we're talking about here. That's taking it back to the Constitution. In persona, mano y mano, you say I can't do a thing. I know damn good and well I have the right, and you're sitting here telling me that you're going to overlook it because you're a judge and this and that. And it just completely destroyed what was left of the illusion of anything that could be considered justice. Because if you don't have your substantial rights and they're not going to help you protect your substantial rights, you don't need a brief for substantial rights. You don't even have to list what your substantial rights are or which ones they violated, although we did very articulately, might I add. But the fact of the matter is, if they're not even going to do that, folks, ladies and gentlemen, the tyranny has just gone too far. It's gone too far. Because you have a right to your witnesses. You have a right to counsel. Nowhere does it say you have a right to a bar association rat, you know, or that you have to have one or that you must take one. So when you start to look at that, that's when I realized what notice and opportunity was going to do, presentment upon demand. You start looking into these things, and you got to start looking at it in a commercial light because everything is commercial. All crimes are commercial. Everything's commercial. Everything from flushing your toilet to taking a walk down the street. It's all commercial.
Yeah, in federal court, when I went up in front of the magistrate, I tried, you know, explaining to the magistrate that he was going to appoint an attorney for me. And I said, thank you, no. I will present myself. I will accept, however, the assistance of counsel, because that is what the Constitution says. And mm-hmm. And he said, well, I don't do any hybrid defenses. And I said, yeah, this guy was like 90-some years old, looked like he was going to blow away with the next wind that somebody walking past him in the courtroom. And I was like, Your Honor, why has the Constitution now become a hybrid defense? I'm not claiming anything under Miranda v. Arizona. I'm not asking for the representation of counsel or the right to any such thing. But the Constitution says I have the right to the assistance of counsel. That's assistance. Last time I checked, wasn't granting someone over all of your rights, your power, who you are. You know, when a lawyer represents you, you're basically declaring yourself legally incompetent, and that this individual is now you're accepting for your stead. I wasn't doing. Oh, no hybrid defenses. I felt like I was hijacked from the beginning.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to break again. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. Resurrectory Public, RTR Truth Media on RBN.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
There is an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and good buy. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Resurrected Republic, Truth Radio broadcast. Don't tread on us, RTR Truth Media Reloaded. Folks, smash that PayPal button at rtrtruthmedia.com. For every $25 that you donate, you will buy yourself one raffle ticket for a $500 name brand, brand new in the box, computer with the operating system of your choice. It'll either be 7, 8, 10, I forget how that goes, but we have a fellow handling that. So you go to rtrtruthmedia.com for every $25 you donate, and donate quick because we want to get this out to you. You will earn yourself a chance, and we will be doing a drawing on video live. We'll lay out all of the tickets, and we'll throw them in the bowl, mix them up, and pull them right in front of you. So take part in that. It supports this show, and get yourself a really cool brand new computer. Anyway, back to you, Derek Gonzalez.
I'm not really sure where we left off.
Where did we leave off? I hate commercials. That breaks, you know, I have Lyme disease, so it really like fragments my brain. Maxims of law, what we were discussing during the break.
Yeah.
a couple of those really interesting. Oh, you know what? I just got a call come across my desk. That's just saved our butt. Hey, Paul in Dallas, you're on.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm blessed, Paul. Thank you for calling.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are, sir. You are absolutely blessed. I just had a comment about the hybrid purse, the hybrid, supposed hybrid defense that you would have. That was denied me as well.
Yeah.
In my case. And I realize now that I should have just taken it myself from the very beginning, and how corrupt the bar is, as you might, is the normal terminology nowadays, is that when I took a court-appointed, I call them public pretenders. When I took my public pretender, I got sold down the river. And you know, there's so much that we don't know. And when you get caught up in the system, then you'll realize just how much you should know. And that's what's so valuable about your show, Tom, is it has just been a myriad of education. And I've learned so much since then. And Lord, I wish I would have known this before I went to this so-called trial, which was nothing more than a kangaroo court in Collin County, Texas. And Dom, you know quite a bit about the case, but you know the bottom line is that they don't want the average American and even the less than average American to get up there and try to represent themselves or to claim whatever their constitutional rights are. And as you know, that's the rights that are provided to you. It's not that the Constitution
provided to you by God. Right. Provided to you
by
God.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
And you know, my biggest problem was is I thought that I knew so much, and I really found out how little I really actually knew. And what I mean by that is the judge probably had the right and the authority, I guess, to do what he did, because I did not have proper standing. I went in there with a ton of adhesion contracts attached to my ass. Excuse me. I'm sorry for saying that on the air. I went in there with a bunch of adhesion contracts attached to me, and I was a little child trying to stand up and walk for the first time. And, I've learned a lot since even then, and I've been doing this for quite a few years. So what we have to do is, first of all, we can't be so – our egos can't be so strong that we're not willing to say – I didn't know, I don't know, and I need to know, and we can't be afraid to reach out to people that do and take the time.
Man, that's why your show is so valuable, brother. That is why. I mean, I you know I'm your greatest fan, and I send it to everybody I know, and if we would just hit the point of common sense and realize, just like this man is talking about, there are so many technicalities in the law.
Yep. I am very familiar with your case, and as you and I have spoken, we plan on delving into that in a time coming soon, and you know why that is. I'll let you know on public radio that I have not forgotten your situation, and it is something that needs to be addressed. Very corrupt situation that went on down there, and without getting into detail over our guest here, our prayers need to be with folks like Paul and other people out there who are they're coming awake. They're the veil is being removed from the eyes, and we're coming together. I call us the remnant. I really still have a way. I have a way
and
to
the
go.
Lord's in control. That's,
you're real muffled. You're muffled. Paul, you're muffled really bad.
Okay, but the Lord's still in control. We definitely don't need to forget that. It's going to take divine intervention before this country really wakes up. And it's coming. It's coming down the pike. And all these naysayers out there that think that they control are going to get a rude awakening. I'm more than ready for it. You know how bad they beat me up. It doesn't matter whether you have the proof, the evidence, is if it's not submitted and accepted by the courts, and they play all these games, And in my case, a hybrid defense was not out of line. But you're right. In most cases, you don't have the standing. But
yep. We're learning how to get that information to people, including myself, by the way. We're learning what proper standing is. Not many people have known for a long time, but the process is being perfected to a point where it can be internalized by the average person, and you don't have to do years of research to get to that point, because you shouldn't have to. You really shouldn't have to do that. So there are those of us out here that are working on that. I'm a smaller cog in that machine. We're talking to one right now and one sitting behind me, and we're coming together. We're doing so in honor, and we're doing so serving who I believe in. What's driving me is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father.
No doubt.
So anyway, that
RTR, mash that button. I'm all for that, brother. They need to give some contributions, because I can't put a value, a monetary value, on what I have learned from RTR. It's ineffable.
I thank you very much, sir. I thank you, but the Lord is our shepherd.
Yes, sir. And you just keep on keeping on.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
Yes. We'll get into my deal a little bit more, but I'll tell you, there's just a lot to be said about that one commercial that you have on there that says, you know, stop and think about this, people, for a minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. What is this really worth to you? And brother, you know, if I had it, there'd be a whole big old case full.
Brother, you give it to me. You give it to me in love and prayers, and that is just as much needed as any stupid Federal Reserve note. Those things get us the equipment here and again when we need it. But the true glory is to God, and your prayers and your love is very much accepted and wanted and appreciated. Thank you very much, brother. All right, we're going to get back to our guest here, Paul. Thank you for your call, and I'll send you a message after the show. Derek, as you can see, we're trying, brother. So
yeah, it's fantastic, and I mean, and like I said, I thank you so much for bringing me on the show. I'm just absolutely enamored with you guys, and what you're doing for people is really bringing forth legitimate conversations. And I want to apologize for my language, by the way. I kind of forgot. I was having so much fun, I forgot I was on a broadcasted show.
It happens occasionally. And, as long as it's not regular, it's good. That's
awesome. Yeah. Hopefully there's a time delay there and you were muting me out. But anyway, I mean, what you guys are doing is phenomenal. And the last caller is absolutely correct. What it takes is people to become enlightened. And sometimes it's that soft, nurturing touch in the right direction to get people to think. The problem that I see most often is a lot of people walk around like zombies. They are so compartmentalized. They know one task and that's it. And then 5:30 comes and it's happy hour. And then it's time to eat and eat crap and repeat all their life. And it's time to start to wake these people up and get them to see the big picture, because they truly are walking around in a haze. And we're not talking Jimi Hendrix purple haze. This is a horrible haze. This is smog, smut, and everything in between.
Zombie apocalypse.
Yeah, you know, I used to laugh at that. I don't laugh at that anymore, because it's a reality. I watched a gal walk into a phone pole the other day, texting and walking. And I thought to myself, man, oh man, what have we become? I mean, you can't even walk down the street. You know, and it wasn't just a couple years ago. We're sitting at a friend's house and everybody's there and they're all in the living room. They're all on their phones. Nobody's saying anything to anybody. And every now and again, somebody would laugh and snicker. And I'm like, are you guys communicating to each other with your phones, your devices, and you're like three couch cushions away? Oh, yeah, yeah. I was like, we have to get a disconnect, and we have to start reconnecting with our elders. That's probably one of the most important things.
If
you get anything from me tonight, one of the most important things is pick up that connection with your elders, because there are things that they lived through that are not in the history books, or they're not in the history books correctly. And you speak to these 70, 80-year-old, 90-year-old people, and they tell you what they lived through, the times that we're trying. Through adversity, trials, and error build character. But more so than anything, firsthand knowledge and experience will always seek and guide you through disaster. And these people they've lived it. And it's time to give back to our elders and let them know that we're here. You, in the Philippines, you marry a woman over there, you marry her grandma too, and her mother, because they're moving in with you. In America, we put our elders in a nursing home, and unfortunately,
I hate that.
You know, it's just a bad way of doing it. So,
I took care of. I'm proud to say that when my mother got ill with cancer, I stopped what I was doing and I moved in and I took care of her until the held her hand until the last breath she took. I would not let my mother go to a nursing home and be warehoused away, not on my watch. No, and that's a shame. I see that happening. It blows my mind, bro. It breaks my heart. This person that brought you into this world, that gave you everything, that cooked for you, that cleaned for you, that did your laundry, that nursed your skinned knees and your bruised elbows and took you to school and to football practice, and you're just going to warehouse? Oh, my God. Makes me mad when I think about it. Really does. No. We've lost a lot of values. And, you know, our founders did say that you know, this form of government that we had a long time ago would only work for righteous and moral people. Well, it seems like we've bred a lot of Tide Pod eating nutcases into this world. That
I mean, poor generation, they're forever going to be known as the condom snorting Tide Pod eaters.
Right. And it's a shame. It really is a shame. And you know, I just want to say real quick, it brings to mind something about this Me Too movement. I was having a conversation with somebody in some YouTube, a comment that was made towards me. I'm the victim of childhood sexual abuse, right? And people didn't believe me when I was a kid. And later on in life, I internalized it and I learned to deal with it. What didn't kill me made me stronger. There was no vindictiveness. I didn't go 30, 40 years later to take somebody out. This person was having this conversation telling me that the only way that these people coming forward can find healing is if they're believed. Well, I wasn't believed, and so they threw back at me, well, how did it make you feel not to be believed? I said, it sucked, and it made me stronger, not a snowflake. I will not use something that happened to me to continue to allow me to be a victim. Forget what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, and not only makes you stronger, but what they caused was now I'm a pedophile hunter. Now not only am I not going to allow that to control me, I don't need to make accusations 36 years later. I'd like to protect children today.
Absolutely.
Forget about it. If something happened to you that's so wrong, well, then you take your time and your effort instead of that victimhood mentality. That this is this liberalism. It's a mental disorder that's making a bunch of kids that need rubber-covered walls in their rooms and safe spaces and places. And, oh, my God, dude, it makes me want to smash my face in a wall.
Speaking about children being abused, the biggest organization abusing children at this point is CPS and DHHS. And I'm telling you what, it's
child
human trafficking at the highest levels. It's absolutely atrocious and disgusting. And that's what led me to studying 13 to 16 hours a day. Is as soon as CPS Amen. Decided to take interest in me as a man and call me an obligor, this and that, and saying that I wasn't doing my best to provide for my own, I was working 7 days a week, running my own company, doing my own books. I was finding success. The year that they took interest in me, I was projected to do quite well for myself, and it all just fell apart as they smeared me through the paper, basically making me out to be a deadbeat when I was giving everything I had, 13, 14, 15, 16 hours a day. If I wasn't out in the field, I was at the home cooking the books. Not cooking the books. Let me rephrase that. I was at home, you know, doing book work and you know, doing estimates and things of that nature. When you run a construction company, you've got so much to do and not enough time in the day. I mean, I would have given anything for 3 more hours in the day, and it just wasn't feasible. So when these people came at me for child support, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, wait a minute here. You guys are coming after me for something that you believe that I owe. And I already have a moral obligation. I already know that I have to take care of my family. It's ingrained in me as a brother. It's ingrained in me just being born a male that I have an obligation to my family and friends to protect them, put a roof over their head, and do my best to provide for them. Because at the end of the day, family's all you got. And so to have these people saying that stuff to me, and not once did my phone ring for them to have me come do some drywall work, frame something for them, paint, but yet they had the audacity to tell me that I wasn't doing good enough. Well, that just sent me in an inferno. And at one point I walked into the court and I said, you guys need to drop your bullshit, drop your stuff, and stop playing around, because I will make it my life's mission to bury you guys. And they all thought I was joking. They're not laughing anymore. They realize I'm extremely serious. And that brings me to my next point here. The name, the Christian name. Name in law, man has only one Christian name. That's your first name, your given name, your first in line, first in time. Christian name, the baptismal name, is as distinct from the surname being your last name. The surname was a creation of these people. They needed these identifiers and indicators to implement their system in order to get you to believe that you are that entity. Because in the Bible, you don't see Paul and his last name. It's just Paul, and he hailed from wherever. And so when we start to look at it, a lot of the people that have come in, they've been watching me from afar, and as I simmered down and finally started to get level-headed, they started to come out of the woodworks and show themselves to me. And they kept repeating to me, Derek, you need to understand the significance of that 1611 King James Bible.
Amen.
And we talk
and
about
place in its place in law. Folks, for those of you out there that aren't spirit, that don't believe in God and all that, what we're talking about right now, you can remove yourself. I don't ask you to remove yourself from, but you can. We're talking about the fundamental basis of the law of American jurisprudence was the Magna Carta. What was the Magna Carta based on? A 1611 King James Bible. If you understand the architecture of the law, you'll understand the importance of what this man is saying right now. Go ahead.
So I found this very interesting. Congress actually made it, I believe it was the year 1984, was the year of the Bible. And mm-hmm. I found this article. I'm looking for it right now. It is just priceless, because it feeds into what these guys were telling me. And I struggle with religion. I'm very spiritual, but I struggle with religion, because religion, honestly, is what these guys are practicing.
Yeah.
And spirituality is nature, and nature is God. Nature is man. Nature is everything, you know. And so when we get back to nature and we do away with man's law and we go back to God's law, you will see very quickly, you can take a King James 1611 Bible into a court, and you can absolutely decimate them if you've done your homework. They can never go against that book. It's a book of trust. It's the original book of trust for the new Americas. Australia was affected by it as well. But when they created the Americas, they brought that King James authorized version by King James, the 1611 Bible, and that's how they constructed North America, the Americas, excuse me. And so when you're looking at that, I can't express to you the importance of, have you ever heard the adage, get out there and make a name for yourself?
Yeah.
Right there in the Bible, it says you need to go out there and make a new name on a white stone. So when people are talking about name changes, understand the significance of that, taking your nom de guerre, your all caps name, and bringing it back into proper uppercase, lowercase, and being identified as the man. Okay?
Uh-oh. Did we lose him? Oh, my. What timing to have lost him. Wow. What timing to have lost him when
he was on a roll, man.
A critical point. And I know exactly what he was saying. Exactly what he was saying. Oh, let's see if we can get him back, Mike. Oh, come on. Oh, that's a shame. That what a horrible place to end that off. He was we're going to have to do a sidebar, and I'm going to have to attach it onto the end of this if we can't get him back. Ladies and gentlemen, what he's talking about is absolutely right. And I know it's very deep for a lot of people, and you know, people that are not of the Christian faith may question what he's talking about. We're talking about law. Right? That's what we're really talking about. We're not talking about what you believe or what you don't believe. We're talking about the law. And if you understand the architecture of the law that was brought into the American colonies, into this country, you'll understand that it has a very distinct heredity. And this heredity is built upon that King James Bible. And it doesn't matter what you believe now. Okay, I'm going to read for you the heredity. The Holy Bible, 1215, the Magna Carta, 1620, the Mayflower Compact, 1628, the Petition of Rights, 1641, the Grand Remonstrance, and 1689, the English Bill of Rights, and 1765, the Declaration of Rights in Congress at New York, in 1774, the Declaration of Rights in Congress at Philadelphia. In 1776, the Declaration of Independence. In 1777, the Articles of Confederation. In 1783, the Treaty of Peace. In 1789, the Constitution for the United States, lowercase u, States of America. In 1791, the Bill of Rights. Then in 1868, you had the reincorporation of the Constitution, and you had the 1868, the Constitution of the United States, all in capitals, C-T-U-S-A. In 1864, 1929, and 1949, you had the Geneva Conventions. In 1948, the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. 23rd March 1976, the International Covenant of Civil and Political Rights, Articles 1 through 27. So you see, there's a heredity of law that's being used that most Americans, they're not taught in schools. You're not taught these things in school. You're not taught what your Christian name is, of course, because of this detachment of reality, this belief that the separation of church and state, show it to mean the Constitution, but the separation of church and state doctrine means the separation of God in the law and state. Well, what does it say? We are endowed by whom? By our Creator. Well, if our founders meant that the separation of church and state meant that you can't bring God into the conversation of government at all, we wouldn't be now thus endowed by our Creator now, would we? Ladies and gentlemen, we will have Eric Gonzalez come back. I hope we get to finish the last part of this interview. If we do, we will add it. God bless all of you. Resurrect the Republic, Truth Radio Broadcast, Tom Lackbarra Stewart, JJ Zapp, tonight with Eric Gonzalez. God bless all
Thank
of you.
Thank you for tuning in. We can't do this without you.
That's right. God bless.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe.
This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.